صلى الله عليه وسلم، صلى الله عليه وسلم. Mercy upon mankind. صلى الله عليه وسلم، صلى الله عليه وسلم، صلى الله عليه وسلم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to our program, The Cure of Every Illness, Salli Ala Muhammad. Today in our episode, like every episode, we mention the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam in relation to recitation of salawat upon him sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. And we also try and mention some faith refreshing parables and narrations in which that we can take a lesson from and try and implement that into our lifetime as well, inshallah ta'ala. Over the last couple of episodes, we have been mentioning about those narrations of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam about those people who do not recite salawat upon him sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, and they are to face some consequences. Today, inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to share another one of these narrations, inshallah ta'ala, so that we are able to understand and realize this as well, inshallah azza wa jal. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, he has stated, as reported by Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, that three types of people will not see my face. How extremely unfortunate these types of people will be, that they will be unable to see the face of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam on the Day of Judgment. Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha asked, who are they? And listen to the reply that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam gave. He mentions the three types of individuals who will be unable to see the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam said, the disobedient to the parents, the one who gives up my sunnah, and the third is the person who, in whose presence my name is mentioned, but he did not recite Durood-e Pak upon me. My dear Islamic, just let's stop there for a moment, take heed, contemplate, ponder, and think that are we in any of these three categories? Are we disrespectful towards our parents, or are we obedient towards our parents? Do we miss out on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam? Alhamdulillah azza wa jal, in this day and age, we are very, very fortunate that we got the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami, the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami, this Madani Tahriq of Dawat-e-Islami, and the blessings of Amir al-Sunnat, Mawlana Ilyas Qadri Hafidahullah Ta'ala, through their teachings and through their inspiration, their motivation and persuasion, millions and millions of Ashikan al-Rasul from all around the world are acting upon the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. We need to ask ourselves, are we also acting upon the sunnah? Are we deprived of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam? Sometimes when we talk about the sunnah, we only think about the physical attire as this being the sunnah. When we say the sunnah, we think that the beard is the sunnah, wearing the imama is the sunnah, keeping zulfa is the sunnah, using the miswak, this is the sunnah, etc., etc. This is what we think about a sunnah. But the sunnah and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes far beyond this. Our day-to-day activities, are they in accordance with the teachings of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Such as our sleeping, such as our walking, such as our talking. Are all of these according to the sunnah and the way of the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not? This is something that we need to ask ourselves. Are we deprived of the sunnah, or are we not? Are we acting upon the sunnah? Alhamdulillah azza wa jal, if you attach yourself to this environment of Dawat-e-Islami, inshaAllah ta'ala, you will also gain the motivation of acting upon the sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. May Allah enable us all to act upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So let's go back to this narration. The third category that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam mentioned was the category of the when an individual is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned in front of him, then he does not recite salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allah azza wa jal forbid, if we are from amongst these three categories, these three types of people, then my dear sisters, my question to you all is, that what is going to happen on the Day of Judgment. Who are we going to turn towards? Who is going to be that individual that will intercede in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on our behalf? Who will be that means for us to gain forgiveness for our sins? Who will be that means that will gain Allah's mercy for us? Without any shadow of a doubt, that being, that individual, that personality is none other than the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam. But if we are from amongst these three types of people, we are disobedient towards our parents, we leave out the sunnah, and thirdly, we do not recite salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam on the mentioning of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, then my dear Islam brothers, if we do not see the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam on the Day of Judgment, how are we going to be able to gain his intercession? This is something that we all need to think about. We cannot take these things lightly. Each one of them is an entire episode in itself. Rather, an entire program, a series of episodes, a series of programs can be delivered on each one of these three things. And about the Durood-e Paak, this episode of this program of ours, the cure of every illness, Salli ala Muhammad, it has been going on, and today is our 17th episode, Alhamdulillah, Azzawajal. So we've gone through many, many narrations talking about the virtues and the blessings of sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam. And over the last couple of episodes, we've been mentioning the grave warnings that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam has mentioned for not reciting salawat upon him sallallahu ta'ala wasallam when he has been mentioned in front of us. So this is something that we need to think about, and we need to consider, and we need to make sure that we are reciting salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam abundantly. And as long as that, the other two things are mentioned in this narration as well, our obedience towards our parents, this is very, very important. This is something that a lot of youngsters in our day and age, they do not pay much attention towards. Especially when they reach the ages of 16 to 18 years of old. At that time, they think they want freedom. And they think that I can do whatever I want now. No, that's not the case. You cannot do whatever you want. You are restricted by the Sharia of Islam. As a Muslim, we give up our desires and what we want to do for the sake of the commandments of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We cannot do whatever we want to do. And as believers, we have been told to be obedient towards our parents. Anything that our parents say to us that does not contradict the Sharia, it's necessary that we act upon that. And this is something that we, youngsters especially, the youth of our day and age, they do not take this to granted. Ask those individuals who, without realizing, their parents have left this world. Now they realize that what it is like to have the shadow of the father and the mother over themselves. This is something that we cannot take lightly. During the lifetime of the parents, we must be obedient towards them. We must serve them. We must take care of them. And inshallah ta'ala gain the benefits and the blessings of this in this world and also in the hereafter as well. We've heard in the narration that when it comes to disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the punishments for them have been put on hold until the hereafter. Whereas when it comes to the disobedience of the parents, the individual will find and he will see the consequences of that during his lifetime. And a very famous saying is, what comes around goes around. Jaisi karni waisi barni. What comes around goes around. Today how you treat your parents, tomorrow inshallah Allah will bless you with children as well. You will grow up, you'll get married, you'll be blessed with children. How you treat your parents, maybe that's the treatment that you will get as well from your children. What comes around goes around. So if you treat your parents in a good manner, inshallah ta'ala, your children will treat you in a good manner as well. Especially if your children are alive whilst their grandparents, your parents are alive, they will observe how you are treating your parents, and when they grow older, they will treat you in the same manner that my parents were like this to their parents, so I'm going to be like this to my parents as well. Because children observe the actions of their parents and observe the actions of other individuals. That's how they pick up what to do during their lifetime as well. So how you are towards your parents, this is how your children will be towards you as well. But we should not be obedient towards our parents and treat our parents good for this reason. Because who knows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will give us aulad or not, or whether our aulad will reach that age where they will be serve us or not. We do not know. This is all the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the reason why we serve our parents and we are obedient towards our parents is to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as this is the command of Allah. Many places this is mentioned in the Quran as well. To treat your parents in a good manner, this is the teaching of the glorious Quran. And I just wanted to elaborate a bit on this point about the obedience of the parents, because unfortunately this is a problem in our society. So these three things mentioned in this hadith that I've just shared with you, obedience to parents, missing out on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, and not reciting salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he is mentioned in front of us. All three of these could be detrimental for us in our hereafter. So we need to make sure that we tick each one of these boxes, that we are avoiding each one of these three. So we are not disobedient to our parents, we are obedient to our parents. We are not missing out on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are acting upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this regard, I would also like to add, and that is that when it comes to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, unfortunately in the day and age we live in, nowadays we've got a lot of youngsters are saying that it's only a sunnah. It's not fard or wajib upon us to do that action, it's only a sunnah. If we miss it out, it's okay. Ma'azallah. Are we belittling the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam? Is that the intent behind it? Sometimes we don't even intend something, but indirectly that is the message that is going out. Is that what is happening here or not? This is something that we need to ask ourselves. When these statements are being said that it is only a sunnah, what is the scenario in that? We need to think to ourselves. And here, my dear Islam brothers, we should never belittle the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, he was sent as an example for us. Every one of the actions that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam done was not useless. There was reasoning and wisdom behind every single action of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam. Each action of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and was a means for the ranks of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam to increase even more. So when we follow the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam with the intention of it being sunnah, with the intention of gaining the pleasure of Allah, with the intention of gaining reward, inshaAllah ta'ala will be benefiting in this world as well as in the hereafter as well, inshaAllah ta'ala. So this is something that I want you all to pay attention towards, take care of, and remember throughout our life that we need to be obedient towards our parents, we need to act upon the sunnah, and thirdly, whenever the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam is mentioned, we recite salawat upon him sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. We cannot afford to be deprived of his intercession on the Day of Judgment. We cannot afford it. On that day, there's no one else that we can turn towards other than the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. And we've mentioned this in our previous episodes as well, that how the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam will be the one that will come in to aid his ummah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. May Allah protect us, and may Allah keep us steadfast upon our iman, upon following the way of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, and allow us to continuously send salawat and salam upon the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam in a great manner, in a beautiful manner as well, inshaAllah azza wa jal. And now inshaAllah ta'ala, I'm going to share with you another very faith refreshing parable, and it's mentioned in a hadith. This narration is very beautiful. Inshallah, if we listen to it, it will wake us up as well. There's a great warning inside this narration. And inshallah ta'ala, there's also a bit of a miracle of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, and we realize the status of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam as well, inshallah. It's mentioned that there was once a hunter who was going by, passed by the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam. I'm just trying to summarize the whole narration for you, so that we can understand the narration as well, inshaAllah ta'ala. That hunter, it was carrying a doe, which he had captured. And as the hunter was going past by the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted that doe, that animal, the ability to talk. He was given the power to talk. And we've seen in the other narrations as well, that even stones and pebbles and rocks and trees, they were all given permission to talk to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala and to give salam to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam at that time of need as well. So that doe in the court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam began to plead and said, "Oh my master, I have young fawns that I feed and they might be hungry right now. Can you request that this hunter releases me so that I may go feed them, and I promise that I will return." The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he asked in return, replied to that doe, and he goes, "If you do not return, then what will happen? How could it be trusted?" And in accordance with the summary of the hadith, he asked, "If you do not return, then what will happen?" And the doe humbly replied to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala sallam, that if I don't return, may I be cursed like the one who is cursed by Allah for not reciting salawat upon you even after your name is mentioned in his presence. Or may I be cursed like the one who offers salah but does not make dua. Then the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala told the hunter to release the doe. And he said, "Release it, it will return. You have my word." Well, that doe, then he went, he fed his fawns, and then it returned back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the hunter as well. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam at this time came into the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and humbly said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, Allah azza wa jal has sent salam to you and has said, I swear on my dignity and greatness, I am more kind to your ummah than this doe who showed kindness to its young fawns. I will make your ummah return to you like this doe has returned to you." Allahu Akbar, my dear Islam brothers. Look at the entire narration, the entire scenario. Look at the mercy of Rasulullah to that doe. Look at the mercy of that doe towards his phone. And then look at how that doe kept its word. It was truthful. It kept its word. And it returned. And look at the hunter that believed in the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam's word as well. And now look at the Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, he returned with the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful upon the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam than that doe is on his phone. So this is something that all of us, we need to keep in our minds inshaAllah ta'ala. Something that we all need to realize inshaAllah ta'ala, that we must recite salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam. And in this narration, another point was mentioned as well. Someone, he reads salah but does not make dua. So after our salah, we should make dua in the court of Allah. Sometimes we are in such a hurry that we give salam and that's it, up we go and off we go with our day-to-day routine. We do not even stop for a moment to make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas Allah in the glorious Quran, he says to us very clearly, "Ask from me and I will grant it to you." But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to make dua, and he will accept our du'as inshaAllah ta'ala. Today this is a big problem in our society as well. We run around left, right and center, but we don't turn towards the Creator, the one who will actually resolve our problems. We don't turn towards him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a big issue for us in our day and age, where we've got so much calamities, so many problems. Why don't we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When it comes to the worshipping of Allah, where are we then? This is a question we need to ask ourselves. How many of us are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly? When it comes to our salah, how focused are we in our salah? How much khuzu and khudu, humility and humbleness do we possess in salah? Many individuals, when they stand for salah, they remember so many different things. And they all come at one time flying through the brain. This is the shaitan attacking us and diverting our attention in salah. But how many of us can overcome these whispers of the shaitan and focus upon the worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Turn towards Allah. Make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. InshaAllah, he will shower his mercy upon you. He will resolve your problems. At the end of the day, he is the one that put these difficulties in our way, so that we can be compassionate. We can turn towards him and he can raise our status inshaAllah ta'ala. And then also, he is the only one that can remove this from our way. No one else can do that. Even though someone might be powerful, he might be someone of influence, if Allah does not will, He cannot get rid of our difficulties. You have an illness. You can go to the best doctor on the planet. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not wish you to be cured, you will not be cured. You can have the best medicine, you can have everything. But if the cure is not written from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no cure will be given to you. On the other hand, you may be ill. You've not done anything. You've given a bit of sadaqah in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've made dua in the court of Allah, Ya Allah, bless me with shifa. You've not seen any doctor, you've not had any sort of medicine. But all of a sudden, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you shifa. Why? Because this is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is another thing from this narration that I mentioned, that we must make dua in the court of Allah, especially after our salah as well. And along with this, we are reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This is what our silsila, the cure of every illness, salli ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is about. That we recite Durood e Pak upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The whole purpose of this program is to encourage us, motivate us, persuade us to spend our time reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. If you ponder upon your day, how much part of your day are we just going to wastage? Actions that we are doing that have no meaning whatsoever. Or actions that we are doing, and at the same time as doing those actions, we can make most of that time and do, like to say, strike two birds with one stone. Do two things at the same time. Like for example, you are traveling to work. That 1 hour traveling to work, it will go by anyway. Whether you are driving yourself, whether you are on someone else's transport, you are on public transport, whatever it may be. You're traveling towards work, that 1 hour commute that you have daily. 1 hour going to work, 2 hours, 1 hour coming back from work. That 2 hours of your life will pass by anyway because you're going to go to work. Whilst you are traveling to work, why can we not make it our habit that we recite in Durood e Pak upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well? During this 1 hour journey time, how many times can you recite Durood e Pak upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? If you concentrate, then I believe a good amount of Durood e Pak can be recited in the time span of 1 hour. A good amount. If we focus properly, we concentrate, make our mindset, inshallah ta'ala, it'll be a good amount of our time will be spent in reciting Durood e Pak. 1 hour there, 1 hour back. How much Durood e Pak can we recite daily? This is a question that we need to ask ourselves. Why are we just wasting that time? Unless you are utilizing that time for the recitation of the Quran, utilizing that time for studying Islamic books, utilizing that time to read Islamic literature. Alhamdulillah, Maktabatul Madina is in front of you. So much literature is available. And alhamdulillah, all of this literature is also available on Dawat-e-Islami's website, dawatislami.net. Go into the book library and you have thousands of books available in various different languages. In Urdu, in English, in Arabic, in so many other languages, Gujarati, Hindi, Sindhi, and even other languages, French, Italian, Spanish, German, Turkish, so many languages of the world, alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami's translation department is translating these books of Maktabatul Madina into those various languages as well, inshallah ta'ala. So we can benefit from this as well, inshallah ta'ala. And along with this, we can be reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam. May Allah give us all tawfiq and ability that we constantly send salawat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam and gain the blessings of this in this world as well as in the hereafter, inshallah ta'ala. Until next time, continue benefiting from Madani channel and the various programs Dawat Islam is bringing you. And inshallah, once again, we will be back with another episode of this silsila, of this program, The Cure of Every Illness. Salli ala Muhammad صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم جزاك الله خيرا صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم
صلى الله عليه وسلم